we just examine since we're on Shabbos some of the parshios
of Shabbos. We began the year by noting that the Rambam in the Shorashim, Shoresh Tess, notes that again his part of a polemic there. The Rambam is trying to establish that just because the Torah speaks multiple times about a particular topic doesn't mean that it deserves separate treatment in Minyan HaMitzvos. So one of the examples that he gives is the obligation of Shvisa B'Shabbos. He says that Shvisa B'Shabbos is spoken of at least 12 times in the Torah, and nobody in the right mind, and not paraphrase, kind of basically what he says, nobody who's logical is ever going to suggest to you that you should count the mitzvah of Shvisa B'Shabbos 12 different times. So obviously, sometimes the Torah is marbe, but that doesn't always translate into minyan mitzvahs. And we discussed a little bit the implications of that. But it does raise the question, and that is, well, why is the Torah marbe? Why, in some cases, there's a single parsha, and in other cases, there are multiple parshios. And as we already discussed, there can be different models to explain this. One is, in terms of chashivos, and that could be, also in two opposite ways. Chashivos in the sense that, this is a very critical, vital topic, and you just can't mention it enough times because it's so important, and you really want to emphasize how important it is. Other times, because people are likely, to relate to it in a more trivial way, so as overcompensation, not as a reflection of how important it is, but as overcompensation for people not considering it to be sufficiently important, right? It would be important, to emphasize and to re-emphasize. So that's in terms of that. That's one aspect of it. The other aspect, which sometimes is translated into minyan mitzvos, but again, not always, is that the different opportunities that the Torah has to express something diffused across, again, the broad spectrum and scope of Kol HaTorah Kula is a way of bringing out different components, different elements as well. So then it would be very important to pay very close attention to the language and the context and the contrast between different presentations of the same topic. Again, even if it doesn't translate in minyan mitzvos, but it will heighten our awareness and our appreciation of the different elements and dimensions of a particular topic. And certainly that should be true as well when it comes to the topic of Shabbat. So if there are 12 parshios, I don't know what that means that there are 12 different dimensions, but certainly it behooves us to take the time and try to understand some of the differences between them. Now, in some cases, the differences are obvious. It can be the introduction of Shabbos, historically, like Maaseh Bereishis, as we'll discuss, or when it was accepted by Klal Yisrael, either in practice or as a limud, which is what we find, for example, in the context of Mara, right? It can be something like the Aseres HaDibros, where, again, it may beg the question, but it's going to be there just because, it's a critical part of the Aseres HaDibros. It's not there for Shabbos, it's there for the Aseres HaDibros, but, of course, that begs the question, why is Shabbos one of the elite, 10, and, of course, the Zohar, the Shamar, etc.? Sometimes it's obvious that we're dealing with different themes. Again, as we note from Bereishis, Kivo Shabbos Mikol Melachto Asher Bara Elokim La'asos. Shabbos as the commemoration and affirmation of the Bria and the anniversary of the Bria is one theme. Zecher Litzias Mitzrayim, which seems a little bit puzzling and needs to be understood better, but which is very prominent as well, not only in Kiddush, but in other contexts, Aseres HaDibros included as well. The very fact that Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim aspect of Shabbos, is a totally different dimension. So in some cases, the whether it's, you know, when Klal Yisrael adopted, you know, different things, the connection between the Egel, let's say, and Shabbos and the Avodas HaMishkan is a very important theme. Obviously, the end of Shemos in Kisisa and Vayakel, etc. So in some cases, you know, we have partly the answer, but either way, it's always worth investigating and raising the question and seeing what each parsha contributes. So, since we just read Parshas Bereishis, I thought this would be just a natural topic to do today. So, of course, we read at the end of the Bria, the culmination of the Bria, Vayichulu Hashamayim Va'aretz V'chol Tzva'am, Vayichal Elokim B'yom Hashvi'i Melachto Asher Asav, Vayichmos B'yom Hashvi'i Mekom Melachto Asher Asav, Vayivorech Elokim B'syom Hashvi'i Vayikadesh Oso, Kivo Shavatz Mekom Melachto Asher Bara Elokim La'asos. So there are really several elements. This, of course, is the first, by definition. And it's part of, you know, Bereishis, which obviously gives it special stature. And in addition to that, just the language that the Torah uses sets a tone and establishes certain dimensions and certain principles in Hilchos Shabbos already from the outset. So let's try to identify some of these in the context, in its own context, and in a broader way as well. Firstly, it should be noted that the interplay between Vayivarech Elokim Es Yom HaShvi'i and Vayikadesh Oso is a particular chiddush of this parsha. First, the combination of bracha and kedusha is something which appears at the very beginning of the Torah in this context. It kind of sets a tone for the relationship between these seemingly opposite ideas, as we'll explain. Bracha is ribui and bracha is shefa. Right, bracha is a positive, and not just a positive, but an overflowing positive. You know, kedusha is something that we associate, you know, with the havdalah and prisha, and again limits, not an overflowing, you know, expansion. But this idea vayivarech Elokim es yom hashvi vayikadesh oso, this idea that there can be bracha and kedusha together. Really, that tone in the Torah is really, which one may say is a hallmark of the halacha and the hashkafa of Yahadus, is really that tone is set already in Shabbos. Ksam Sofer says that the unique feature of Shabbos, Ksam Sofer in his Perush al Torah, says that the unique feature of Shabbos is precisely in the ability, right, to integrate these two things. And know, the bracha part and the kedusha part. And if that's captured, as Chazal say, by the mun, you know, the double mun on Yom Shishi, which, you know, gave you, you know, the sustenance and maybe even double sustenance, according to some, on Shabbos, not just for Shishi and for Shabbos, but even a double for Shabbos. And yet the, you know, fact that it wasn't Bishvi, some Sofer says that combination, which I guess you might add, in other worldviews, you know, would be a contradiction, is the Chiddush of Shabbos, and I'm saying by extension, of Yahadus. But I think it's much more than that, and that is, this is the tone-setting, basically, concept of Kedusha. Right? Vayivarech does appear earlier, right? It appears in the context of Piriyah Verivya, both for the animals and for men. So it's Vayivarech. There is a difference between the way that the Torah defines the bracha period beribia for animals and for human beings. In one, it's our first points this out as well. In one, it's simply a, you know, a natural instinct and reality, it's a metzius in a way, in which this capacity for reproductive, you know, being reproductive, is something which, you know, kind of has a momentum on its own. Whereas in the case of man, period beribia is a capacity, but critically, it's accompanied by a tzivui. But either way, that's not our topic for right now, although it's an important and interesting topic. The idea of bracha first appears in the context of Piria Berivia. And again, that's where it gets its initial linkage with producing and creating and overflowing, the idea that that human beings can reproduce, that from one can come not only replacement but many and multiple. That's where this notion of bracha as ribui and as shefa really comes from. But the fact is that the first time that the Torah uses the expression of a kadesh, of kedusha, is in the context of Shabbos. That seems to be very critical. Kedusha is a concept that we're familiar with beyond Shabbos, after Shabbos, but it's not unlimited, and it's always a bit puzzling, or intriguing at least, a bit of a mystery. What do we mean when we talk about Kedusha? Possibly two of the most difficult terms in the halachic universe, I guess, to really translate, obviously to understand more than to translate, and to distinguish from each other as well, is Kedusha and Tahara, right? Sanctity and purity, I guess is how we say it in English. Doesn't help us much. What do we mean by Kedusha and by Tahara? We're not going to discuss the Tahara part right now, but Kedusha in particular. So Kedusha, we talk about living a life of Kedusha. We refer to the Rabbeinu Shalom as Kadosh, 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 right? Hashem Tzavakos. We speak about him as HaKadosh, right? Baruch Hu. I tend to think that that's his name, but, that obviously the way that we refer to the Rabbeinu Shalom is Kadosh. So when the Torah first uses this expression in the context of Shabbos, to understand it better, to understand Shabbos better, we need to understand what Kedusha is. To understand Kedusha better, we need to understand certain things about Shabbos, and again, partially also, about the interplay between Vayibarech and Vayikadesh, at least partially. Kedusha is associated with the Rabbeinu Shalom. Kedusha is associated with Zman, that's where Kedusha Shabbos comes into it. Again, the Torah in Parshas Emor is the Parsha, I always like to call it, of Mikroi Kodesh. And that's partially my suggestion that I'll be reiterating when we talk about it, is that one of the reasons that Shabbos is there is because of Vayikadesh also. Because Shabbos is the source of Kedushas Hazman, and it's the paradigm of Kedusha, in a way. That's what we say in Kiddush, which of course is from the word Kedusha, by Kadesh. Or we speak about Shabbos, there are different girsos, either Tchila the Mikroi Kodesh, or Kiyom Tchila the Mikroi Kodesh. That's basically what Kiddush is saying. It's saying that Shabbos is a Yom Kodesh, and it's also the model, and maybe not just intellectually the model, maybe the actual causative model, meaning Shabbos itself actually is the foundation of the Yom Tovim, to the extent that there is Kedusha in the Yom Tovim, Mikroi Kodesh. When we talked about Yom Kippur, I think I read from the Tshuva of the Avnei Nezer, the exchange between the Avnei Nezer and his father, where they discuss whether the Nisem on Yom Kippur has to do with Kedusha and Kedusha Sayom. Shabbos, clearly, right, violating Malacha is Mechalaleha Mos Yomos. That's the Parsha in Shemos, one of the Makoros, by the way, for Chiluk Malachos, which we'll discuss, because maybe that's not a coincidence. So the idea of Chilul and Kedusha are, just like Tameh and Tahar are opposites, Kedusha and Chilul Kedusha, or Kodesh and Chol, are considered to be opposites, right? Tameh has a negative connotation. Chilul, sometimes does and sometimes doesn't. In the context of a Davar Kadosh, so Chilul or Chol is a negative. That's also interesting. Right, in its own right, chol tameh has a negative connotation in its own right. Chol in its own right has a neutral connotation. Maybe it's a hint to understanding better what kedusha is, to understand that in while neutral chol is neutral, right? In the context of what should be kodesh, right? Chol is chilul. But either way, The point is that Kedushas HaZman has its roots, as we'll explain better, in Shabbos, and that's Mechal Le HaMosimas, and then we need to explain what the Mikra Kodesh aspect, you know, really is. I think the Chizkuni, here in Bereishis says, well, if the real explanation of a Kadesh Oso is the fact that the Mun, Al Asid Labo, that the Mun, didn't rain down on Shabbos, so wasn't that true also with respect to Yom Tov? I think it's a Chizkuni. One second, see if I can find it. Yeah. Pirush Rashi Shlo Yored Bo Man Yored Bo. Im Tomer Af Yamim Tovim Mikudashim B'Man. Kedeksiv Yom Hashvi Shabbos Lo Yeh Bo. V'Shana Rabbaseinu Lo Ba Kosev Lo Rabbas Yom Kippur Yom Tov. So interestingly enough, and this work for us later, Eliyeh Shlomar the Yom Tov Lo Nafki Mechalal Shabbos. Dav Heim Shabbos Mikru Bekama Mekomos. Umimikro devayikadshu oso nilmod shabbosos v'yomim tovim. Basically, what he's saying is that this refers to the, it applies to Yom Tov b'toras Yom Tov ikri Shabbos. Right. I think I mentioned the Ksam Sofer's line about, Yom Tovim being yonek mishabbos. The point is that Kedushas HaZman, at least, is associated with Shabbos, but Zman extends beyond Shabbos, the idea of Kedushas HaZman extends beyond Shabbos. There's also Kedushas Yisrael, right? Mamleches, and that in two senses. Mamleches Kohanim, right? Vigoy Kadosh. So again, it's interesting that some of the Mepharshim quote Goy Kadosh. Who is it? I'm trying to remember. I think the Radak, I'm not sure, quotes a Goy Kadosh in this context as well. He wants to explain that Klal Yisrael, when he wants to explain Zvayikadesh, the Radak says, Nivdal Uparush, we'll get to that, and then he says, after all, because Shof Simbo Yisrael, and by acknowledging the Bria, Klal Yisrael, become themselves Kedoshim. I think that's when he quotes the Goy Kadosh. If not him, then someone else quotes the Goy Kadosh here. But of course, it's the idea of Kedushas Yisrael, which is something that is a very critical aspect. There's something called Kedushas Yisrael. Mamleches Kohanim, the Goy Kadosh, also reminds us that as a group, right, the Kohen Gadol and all of the Kohanim, the Kidashtem, right, that the special prerogatives of a Kohen are associated with Kedusha. Again, made the point in the past, Leviim, although the phrase is sometimes used, mostly don't have Kedusha, right, they have a Minui, they have a certain function. But Kohanim, particularly the Kohen Gadol, Yimigdash Leyetze, we'll talk about it, but even Kohanim Hedyotim have Kedusha. So there's a group of people, Klal Yisrael in a wider sense, vis-a-vis Umos HaOlam, Mamlechas Kohanim Begoy Kadosh. Within Klal Yisrael, there's something called Kedushas Kahuna. Kedoshim Tiyu, obviously, which is the charge, the obligation, right? V'hiskadishtem, v'isem Kedoshim, right? The idea of being Kodesh, and so on. Interestingly, are associated by Chazal Kadesh Atzmecha B'Mutar, Havdala Uprisha, as Rashi quotes in Parsis Kedoshim, the Ramban's famous, Altei Naval Bershus HaTorah, which we point out is connected to, interestingly enough, to his view of Shabbos and Shabboson as well. Maybe the connection is in terms of Kedushas Shabbos as well. So how do these various definitions, both the pragmatic one, things you're not allowed to do, you're not allowed to eat certain types of foods, Kadesh Atzmecha B'Mutar, Prisha of the Havdalah, Altina Balbishus Atar. Are these totally different ideas? Or do they share something in common? Do they reflect something fundamental about Kedusha and so on? The idea of Kedusha, of course, is particularly expressed, not just in terms of Zman, and not just in terms of Kedushas HaGavra, which we've just spoken about, but in terms of the also Kedushas HaMakom and Kedushas HaChefta. So Kedushas HaMakom, of course, Eser Kedushos Hain, right? Eretz Yisrael's Mekudeshes Mikol HaRatzos, that's the probably the 10th, but you know, you have various levels of Kedusha, you know, including the, you know, Makom, you know, of Kodesh within Kodesh HaKadoshim, the place of the Kruvim. There too we have a concept in Makom of Kedusha. We also have a concept in terms of Chafetz, as I say, of Hekdesh. Here, of course, we have, broadly speaking, two categories. Maybe you can make the argument that really there are three, and that is Kedushas HaGuf, classic Kedushas HaGuf, Karban, or Klishares, Kedushas Bedek HaBayis, right, which is a Mamon Hekdesh, Bekinyano, and then something in between, which is either its own category, or maybe there are two of them, something called Kedushas Damim, which sometimes has characteristics of Kedushas HaGuf without Hakrava, and sometimes seems closer to Kedushas Bedek HaBayis. But again, if you look at that whole group with the distinctions, so one of the things that emerge from it is, number one, that a trespass of that is called Me'ila. Me'ila has a very specific connotation, meaning violating Kedusha, being Mechalel Kedusha, Nechapza, is often Me'ila, a kind of it's more than a gazel, and Me'ila has characteristics of being some sort of combination more than gazel. And we speak very much, except for Kedusha's Bedek HaBayis, of the intrinsic idea, the intrinsic value of Kedusha in that context. Kedusha's HaGuf is something which is not nitan lepidyon, by definition. So when we look at these various expressions of Kedusha, noting that, you know, Shabbos is the first time that the Torah uses the expression Vayikadesh, so I think it inspires us, you know, to think more comprehensively, you know, of what Kedusha is all about generally, and how that is reflected in Shabbos. I just want to speak about that for a few minutes now, and then maybe next time we'll just continue with this, because there's a lot more to talk about in terms of the relationship between Bracha and Kedusha, and in terms of Vayichulu, in addition to things that we mentioned in the first year, some additional elements. Vayichulu, Vayishbos, Ashabara, Laasos, etc. Let me speak about the Kedusha aspect more particularly. I think what emerges is that Kedusha, from these various contexts, is something that focuses on the intrinsic, absolutist, intrinsic, uncompromising, permanent, defining, transforming, transformative, you know, impact of being connected, right, to you know, to the goal of Tachlis Maisa Shemayim Va'aretz. The idea of Kedusha, again, Rav Hirsch in his commentary says a little bit of this, but he doesn't really, maybe does elsewhere, but at least on this Parsha, he starts talking about this, and then he kind of, you know, gets linguistically, you know, involved in other things. But he does quote the Gemara in Sanhedrin of Tzadi Beis Amin Aleph, you know, Ma Kedusha Le'olam Kayemes Afheim Le'olam Kayemes, to emphasize that part of the Hagdara of Kedusha is permanence. I'm just taking it beyond that. He emphasizes permanence and the kind of absolute, like, immersion or commitment, right, to a certain goal or to a certain standard. Like, he points out that something which has kedusha is completely kadosh, completely dedicated, right, to that purpose. I'll explain beyond that in just a second. A kadesh and a kedesha, right, which have the same terminological association, but, you know, an exact opposite application, is somebody, let's say, who is completely immersed in or dedicated to or defined by hedonism. That's his argument. But I think the basic idea that Kedusha reflects something that is permanent and absolute in its commitment, I think is very insightful. But I'll just take it a giant step beyond and say that the idea, what I said a second ago, of Kedusha is something that is, again, in an uncompromising and unyielding, you know, absolutist and idealist way, something that is defining and transformative and intrinsic. The idea of Kedusha is contradicted by the possibility of replacement, or the idea that something is just functional, that it's a means to an end, you know, not an end in its own right. The idea of Kedusha is something which really comes, it exists in the physical world, but it really is an instantiation in the physical world of something which is, you know, pure, let's say intrinsic, and absolute. And I think this is clearly the idea, and that's why it has to be transformative and defining at that point. Generally speaking, not subject to pidyon, with the exception of, you know, bedek habayis, because to begin with, it's just a way of defining a value rather than a cheftza. The cheftza part of it is almost, you know, despite itself, but because of itself, as I'll try to explain. Even when you try to, let me just add before I forget, even when you try to dedicate something, you know, as a value of Kedusha, rather than as a chefta of Kedusha, something which is intrinsic, by and large, you might fail, because the momentum of Kedusha in its own right is something which is intrinsic and defining, and therefore not replaceable, interchangeable, etc. So, example, if you're Makdish, you know, Behema, you know, Tamima, you know, Lebedek Habayis, it becomes a Karba. And, you know, we say, you know, that Kivin Denachti, you know, sometimes, you know, you're trying to do something Kedushas Damim, but it'll spread and it'll become, you know, Kedushas Aguf, even though that wasn't your intention. But the whole idea of Pashta, Kedusha, Bekula, again, you try to, you know, limit Kedusha, let's say, to an Aver, but it's an Aver that the animal depends on, so it's Pashta, you know, Bekedusha. Kapashta Kedusha Bekula. So, I think that the fact that there are, you know, Kedushas that are Nitan Lepidyon, and that are defined in terms of dollars and cents, is an exception, but even that exception proves the rule of how the definition and the momentum is about the Cheftza and it being an intrinsic spiritual category and value. Just that, in some cases, when you don't have a cheftza, which is ru'uya, so then to begin with, you can ke'ilu put a dollar sign, you know, not that you're imposing kedusha on this chefetz and it's interchangeable, but it's never really in that chefetz. It's, you know, kind of just, you know, that chefetz is a marker, in a way, you know, for the value. Again, this will explain some things in Erchin and you know, pidyon and kachim, etc. But the concept of kedusha is the concept of kedusha saguf, you know, she'en lo pidyon. In the case of karbanos, it's on the base of kedusha's peh. Kedusha, case of karbanos behema. Ezra Belville points out in one of his letters, in the case of most Kedusha, it's kol anogea, it's based on the Kedusha of a Kli Sharis, being in contact with the transformative impact of some other Davrish of a Kedusha. In that sense, so Kedusha is inherently something which is, as I say, permanent and defining and intrinsic. That's why there's an Easter called Temura, which is that you're not supposed to try to replace a korban, you know, with another animal, even a better one. And then that's a complicated halacha, but Yeh Kodesh is the charge, and Hu Temuraso Yeh Kodesh is the result. Meaning you, when you try to do that, mostly, it ends up boomeranging, because it's not a method of pidyon, and even though you want it to be, and instead what happens is an expression of Kedusha and its ability to affect not only to be intrinsic and permanent, but to affect other things as well. So tu utmuraso yeh kodesh. There's a lot of evidence in Temura that the Temura, right, gets its Kedusha. Its Kedusha is triggered by a kind of boomerang effect, you know, from the would-be replaced korban. This is the idea that it's kind of, by definition, impossible to replace a davar shel Kedusha. A kohen is a kohen, right? You can't have new kohanim, despite all the jokes that they tell, and you can't replace a kohen. Unless, again, he, you know, his Kedusha is nischalel, in which case are some expressions of Kilul Kedusha, so, which also is consistent, because you have to live up to certain standards in Kahuna. But Vikidashto is a permanent definition and a permanent state. And I see my time's almost up, so I'm going to stop. But I think this is, how does this connect to Shabbos? I think this is what connects to Shabbos as well. We always speak about Shabbos as something which is kavua, the kaima, misheshes, yimei breishes. And based on this parsha in the beginning of breishes, right, there's a lot of that, bayichulu, right, and bayichal, as tachlis masa breishes, that's what Sfardu interprets bayichal, just like the tefillah, right, tachlis masa shamayim baretz. The idea that Shabbos itself is a bria, as we've discussed, to explain, that's a big machlokas rishonim, to explain Asher baro lekibla asos and the vayichal. Again, our mafarshim will explain differently. The idea that there's even a remez of tosefes kedusha, as if kedusha again spills over or impacts what it touches, not necessarily for the Rambam and Hilchos Shvi'is Asar, but generally speaking, even the Chazal speak about it, even in the Medrash Rabbah in Bereishis. But the idea that the world really was created for Shabbos, and without Shabbos, Shabbos completes the rest of the Bria. It's like the foundation, it's like the stability of the universe depends on Shabbos. And that's what Chazal say in the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Kuf Yutes, that when you say Vayichulu, you become a shutaf with the Ribbono Shel Olam in Maisa Bereishis. So it sounds very good, it's a nice melitza. So what does it really mean? But in your acknowledgement and your awareness of the purpose of creation. But as well, that this is like everything was in a state of flux. That's what some of the Midrashim say, until Shabbos came along. It's by Chulu HaShemayim V'Haaretz V'Chol Tzva'am, like, really? By means of Shabbos. That's how some of the Chazals understand it. Meaning, Shabbos didn't just complete, Malacha, or B'Mapsik Malacha, that notion of Shvisa. It also gave permanence to what otherwise was still theoretically temporary. It gave stability and permanence by virtue of being by Kadesh to the rest of the world. So we speak about Mekadesh HaShabbos as opposed to Mekadesh Yisrael VeHazmanim, and we speak about Shabbos being Kavua VeKaima. It isn't just a description of a reality. It's intrinsic to the nature of what Shabbos is, that it's kavua v'kaima, that it's there, like clockwork, that you can't change it, even if you want to. And in that sense, you know, again, the spillover in terms of Kedusha Shabbos, both, you know, before and after Tichol, and in terms of, you know, its impact on Yamim Tovim and Yom Kippur and so on, is part of that theme. Shabbos is something which is intrinsic, unchanging by definition, transformative. Again, a lot of the Mefarshim here struggle by Kadesh Oso, by Yivarech. So, right, the Ibn Ezra and the Ramban, they say, oh, in the name of the Gonim, it means that the people who observe, the rational way to read the Pasuk, pure rational way, the people who observe Shabbos are Mivurachim Umikudashim. Right? What does it mean to say that a day is Baruch and a day is Kadosh? Right? You have a similar issue and problem or parallel discussion, interestingly. We talk about Shemitah, right? Shabbos Haaretz. Like, what do we mean by Shabbos Haaretz? Is that a short form to tell you what you're not allowed to do during the Shemitah year? Or is there something really, is there a chepza or a chalos of Shabbos Haaretz? It sounds in the Pesukim like there's a day of Shabbos, which is Kadosh and Baruch. So again, some deny it, and some have other. By the time we came to Shabbos, everything was Baruch and Kadosh. But the simple pshat, and I think most Mefarshim go this way, and certainly a number of the Midrashim go this way, is that Shabbos really is something that is different. And they try to explain, you know, how that expresses itself, some in more rational ways, and some in more, I guess you would say, intrinsically Kedusha or even mystical ways. But the idea that Shabbos is a creation and Shabbos is something intrinsic and unchanging, and you know, absolute and uncompromising in what it stands for as the, you know, setting of the tone for Kedusha, is a critical aspect of Shabbos and of the notion of why it is that Chilul Shabbos is actually considered Chilul, as well as the idea of Shvisa Mishabbos, you know, why that can be, I think, a mitzvah say. So we'll continue with this. We'll stop here.